Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Two words ought to stand out especially: wondrous, wondrous cross, and the other one, all my pride. No place for that. Reading from Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 30, somewhat into the 10th chapter. God's holy and blessed word. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Let's give thanks for this blessed way. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Let's pray, asking God to teach us how to receive it, how to understand it, how to continue in it, and maybe how to go back to it in the church, how far we have gone away from justification by faith, as was listed here of the Jews and has been true in the church as well. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in His name for every blessing given. And we give thanks, Father, especially for Thy giving Him. We also give thanks for giving Thy Word, the message of the Gospel, that we have it when others do not have it, that we have it in its fullness, from what Moses wrote in Genesis, telling us the beginning of creation, to the end of what John wrote of things that are supposed to shortly come to pass. We pray that Thou will give us understanding of all of that word, and teach us, as Moses wrote, and as Thou dost repeat, Lord Jesus, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from Thy mouth. Make us to tremble before Thee, lest we do not give heed to every word. Pray that none of us may be left to wrest the word to our own destruction. We know there is much division in the church, part of it possibly by wresting the word, not receiving it as Thou hast given it for Thy glory and for our present and eternal good, and for the good of others also, the good of the world, because Thou hast said the gospel is to be preached to every creature. We pray that more laborers might be called and go into all the fields that are whiter to the harvest where the laborers are few. And we pray that we who have been called may be more true to Thy word than we have been, and pray we may not be left either to take away from the word or to add to it. We pray for Thy leading now in this portion of Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word wherever it is known, whether it is heard or whether it is read or whether it is remembered. We pray that Thou wilt bring it back to the remembrance of many that are turning away from the word, turning away from the church. We pray for the spiritual blessings first, the reviving that is so much needed in the church and in the home. We pray also for the temporal blessings for those in sickness and injury, those in hunger, the homeless, the war-torn lands, the persecuted, the many calamities that are there, the broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray also for the schools, that Thou will protect them from the lies that are being propagated to them and fostered on them by government and other sources. We pray that Thou would make the church again a salt and a light, that it may have an influence in the home and in the school, and then throughout the nation, for Thy glory, all through Christ. Amen. As we continue in these words, beginning with a question, Paul asks, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? We saw last week how God sent Peter to Cornelius and how he was reproved when he came back by some of the Jews, thinking he should not have kept company with the Gentiles. But Peter showed how God made it known to him, and the summary and the end of it was, then hath God granted unto the Gentiles repentance unto life. Though there were individual Gentiles saved through the years, already in the history of Israel, even when they came out of Egypt, we see Rahab saved, added to Israel. Ruth was brought from Moab, became Boaz's wife. David and Christ descended from her, and others were added, and there was place for the proselytes, but they were very few. And as a whole, Israel was taught the way of God alone. Even when Christ was on earth, he went to the Jews. The Samaritans could be called Israelites in a way. They were part that and part of people that had been brought in by the Assyrians. When we think of one Samaritan woman that Christ spoke to, the woman at the well, she said, our father Jacob. So she saw herself as descending from Jacob. Though the Samaritans were despised by the Jews, even she said, when Christ asked her for water, how come you, being a Jew, ask of me, a Samaritan, for water? Because they have no dealings with us. And that was sadly true. But now, wonderfully, the 10 tribes are one with the 2 tribes back in Israel. As God had said through the pen of Ezekiel, the 2 sticks would become one. And now, after these 3,000 years, it has happened in my lifetime. and only God knows what other blessing he will give to them. We need to pray particularly that they who are spoken of here as not seeking the way of righteousness by faith will be brought to that, and especially and particularly faith in Christ the Messiah, who has come. They don't believe it, but it's true. He is, as we read, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." When Paul began this epistle, the first chapter, he wrote, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And let's remember that, to the Jew first. At that time, many years after Christ ascended, it is still true as well that Paul has a concern for them. Beginning of the 9th chapter, we read, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are the Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever." No other nation has had that blessing. None. It was particular for them, and they were the ones that wrote the scriptures during their time up to the time of Christ. God gave it to them, and as Paul asked the question in the 3rd chapter, "What advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there in circumcision? Much every way to them were given the oracles of God," the oracles, the Holy Scriptures, now, thankfully, given to us, both what they wrote up to the time of Christ and what has been written since that time of Christ's life, and here Paul's letter to the Gentile church at Rome. We can learn from it what he is here saying and asking the question, "What shall we say then, that the Gentiles, which followed not after the righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith?" Of faith. We read that word faith many times, and the other word much the same, meaning believeth. The end of the 8th verse, word of faith. We read in the 9th verse, believe. The 10th verse, believe. The 11th verse, believeth. And twice in the 14th verse, they have not believed in the negative. And then ask the question, how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So there's much emphasis given on believing, which is having faith. It must be there. Paul writes to the Hebrew Christians, Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. Who is the one that we must believe that he is? He is many things. He is especially, as we see in the beginning of this 11th chapter, the Creator. We read in the 3rd verse of chapter 11, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not of things which do appear. No evolution. The theory is a lie. Evolution says this came into that and that changed into that. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. All the pictures of the monkeys are just one big lie. Lie. Where do liars go? All liars go in the lake of fire. So not believing within the church, sadly, and within the schools, teaching the lie other than that God alone created, made the heavens and the earth. That's what we must believe. That is part of believing in him. We must know who we are coming to. We must know about him. Paul asked more about that in the 10th chapter. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We must preach what we just read in Hebrews 11. We must preach what we read from the pen of Moses in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If I didn't believe that, you wouldn't hear one more word out of my mouth. There would be no use talking, no use preaching. And if you don't believe that, you can't believe anything else right. You are not believing in the Creator. If you don't believe in the Creator, you don't believe in the only true God. Yes, He is God the Father of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His love He gave Him. But it is the Creator that did that. He gave His Son, who was with Him, the Eternal Son. And we read also that He spoke to us in these last days by His Son, by whom He created the world. Created. Spoke it out of nothing. Let there be light. There was only darkness before that. And there was light. He spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. He spoke all the things of nature. And finally, He said, with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our own image. That's why we're here. He made us to His glory. And the only way that that can be fulfilled in any right way is to believe on Him and to believe on Him through His Son. And that's what Paul is talking about when he is saying that the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. We saw last week how Peter preached Christ to Cornelius and to other Gentiles. We began to see how Paul preached, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles, as it's recorded in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, we call it, which we might say could also be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. Paul had come to Antioch of Pisidia. There were two Antiochs, one in Syria and one in Pisidia, which was close to Galatia and what we call Asia Minor. That's where Paul went. And when he went to the Gentile cities, he usually went first to the synagogue. He would try to preach there, and he did. And as we saw last week, he gave the history of God taking His people out of Asia, dividing the land, spoke of giving the judges till Samuel, and then Saul the king, then David the king, and then the message of Christ. We read in verse 23 of Acts 13, of this man's seed hath God, according to His promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. The greatest thing that ever happened in the world. Yes, creation was great. But without a Savior, creation would only have to be destroyed. God did destroy much in the flood. It grieved and He made the world. And one day there will be a judgment, and those that have come to Christ by faith, those that have had repentance unto God, humbling before God, knowing themselves guilty, lost, deserving hell, and then believing in Christ for forgiveness of sins, for reconciliation, for adoption into God's family, all in David's seed, Abraham's seed, Adam's seed, but given as the Son of God. He was the seed of Adam and Abraham and David because He was born in the flesh. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God humbled Himself and took on Him the form of a man and then went to the cruel death of the cross. And that's why we can say, wondrous cross, wondrous in love, wondrous to fulfill that great need that we have of sins forgiven, reconciliation with God, the place where the Son of God was made a curse and hung there till He died, shedding His blood. How awful and how wondrous at the same time. Awful that we refused Him. Send Him to the cross. Those in His day shouted, crucify Him, crucify Him. They asked for a wicked man to be delivered to them by Pilate, a robber and a murderer. Wanted Christ dead, crucified in the worst way. That was God's righteousness. God providing a righteousness for guilty sinners. The Gentiles didn't know that for the man up to that time. They had known many things from Israel, and they probably knew, as Paul mentioned, and as it's written also in the book of Acts, that Moses speaks in all those Gentile cities in the synagogue, and they have that. They have the writing of Moses, the law that God gave. He spoke, and Moses wrote that down. They knew that. But for the most part, they did not have the righteousness of faith. And even as we said last week, the beginning of the life of Cornelius may have been more by the law and by obedience, learning from the Jews, than it was of faith. That's why he had to hear the words from Peter, as he said, by which thou shalt be saved. Hearing of Christ, hearing of his death, going to him by faith. That's the same as he said when he was here on earth and said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. As certainly as we go to a table and eat, we must go to the cross and partake of that death for myself, for yourself, and otherwise you don't have any life. We come dead in sin, made alive in Christ. As they said, except you eat of my body, you have no life in you. Up to that day, when we received Christ, no life. We had a form of godliness. We washed the outside of the cup, especially those of us who were brought up in what we call Christian homes in the church, much like the Jews, but it was all form, and more pride than humbleness, more pride than faith. As the song said, pour contempt on all my pride. The songwriter knew it was there. It shouldn't have been. We have to pour contempt on any of it, all of it. There's no place for it. Guilty sinners before God, guilty sinners before each other? Any place for pride? None. Let's again look at how Paul addressed these people here at the synagogue at the end of his addressing them, how the Gentiles wanted to hear through to the beginning, probably, of Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. As he describes them here, they attain to the righteousness which is by faith, and they had to hear. Faith cometh by hearing. Paul, after he had finished his message, as we said, leading up to David, through David to Christ, speaking of Christ and his resurrection, his crucifixion, then summing it up in verse 38 of Acts 13, be it known unto you, brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, my greatest need, forgiveness of sin. If they're forgiven, I'm right with God. Yes, there is also a need of repentance of sins. There's a need of change from sins to righteousness, but we never come to that perfectly. When there's forgiveness of sins, they must all be forgiven. If not, there's one not forgiven. Punishment is due us. So we must have forgiveness of sins through and because of another. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. It's plain. The way is open. God tells us if we do it, we'll have treasure in heaven. But he also tells us by the pen of Paul that by the deeds of the law no flesh shall be justified in God's sight, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. No flesh, none, are righteous by the law. None. Not a one. None that doeth good, no, not one. That's our natural way. Cling to the law. Thomas Boston, an old Scottish Presbyterian, said we would cling to it like somebody would cling to a board in the ocean. If they pried his hands loose, they'd cling to it with his teeth. That's what we do naturally. We will not say, I'm guilty. We like to say, I keep the law. I'm not that guilty. That's our natural way. There was a natural way of these that Paul was talking about here. They stumbled at the stumbling stone and stumbled then at Christ. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Going on back here to Acts 13, after Paul had spoken to them, told them only through Christ that all that believe on him could be justified, from which they would not be justified by the law of Moses, he warned them. We read that last week. Beware, therefore, lest thou come upon you, which is spoken by the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declared unto you. Isaiah had already spoken that 700 years before of Christ, as he's despised and rejected of men. A stumbling stone. But then we read in verse 42, Acts 13, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Here we see the beginning of God's working in the hearts of the Gentiles. We see coming closer and closer to the end of the Jews hearing it. Paul would say, when he was taken to Rome as a prisoner, seeing you cast it from you, lo, we go to the Gentiles. And here, what a wonderful thing. It says the next Sabbath came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But it wasn't Jews and Gentiles, sadly. It wasn't a oneness, but it was a separation. Sadly, we read the Jews saw the multitude and were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. We see some of that in some of the next chapters in Romans. If the Gentiles hear the word, believe the word, and have the word and the blessing of it, that it will provoke them to jealousy. Here it was envy, not a right kind of jealousy, not saying they have it, we need it too. They spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. What a sad, sad way when Paul was preaching Christ to them. They had looked for that for years and years and years after God had promised it, especially to Abraham. And now when Christ was here and made known, they refused. And I'm afraid we're doing the same in our churches, in our homes, in our nation. Less and less of the results of the gospel. The proof is sadly there that we are not a soul. Have we believed rightly? Have we come to God believing that he is and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him through Christ? Listen to the third verse to this song. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down, that e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise